criteria was to focus on sort of urban serving mission of the institution. They were all located in large or mid-sized cities here. They all have medical complexes attached to the campus. Based on these criteria and the mix of graduate and undergraduate programs, there were 9. All of these are public institutions, and all have a very similar profile to the UIC campus. I will stop for your question.
Well, I think that the peer group is a concept, and then there's a competitive group. And in both Chicago and, I guess, in all 3 cities, you know, all 3 campuses, we don't really focus on a competitive set as much.
Sure.
Or for Urbana, I might have included, you know, Northwestern and U of C, and then for Chicago, DePaul and Loyola and some of the folks that we compete with for students and others.
I think you're absolutely right. They're 3 different concepts, 3 different things. One is the peer group, where you're trying to look at how you compare against those who are trying to achieve similar missions, have similar levels of reputation and public awareness and everything else. Then there's a comparative group, as you said. And even within comparative group, I would argue that there are differences. There are differences between student comparative groups and differences from institutions you compete for, faculty and other kinds of resources. And then there's, of course, you can also talk about aspirational groups, you know, institutions you like to be like. I think what the peer group is trying to do is to say, from a national perspective, who are the institutions who best sort of typify the kinds of missions, kinds of activities that we do. For example, you might compete with students with institutions that are not very similar to you, but except for one component of it, maybe one department or, you know, where students, you might be competing for students with that. So you're absolutely right. We might want, for example, for enrollment and other kinds of matters, you might want to look at that. And we constantly look at our comparative groups when it comes to specific kinds of things like that.
And could we format this so that in certain areas we're looking at a competitive set, particularly when it comes to students for enrollment and tuition? And those are critically pieces of it.
We could definitely do that, and it would be prudent to do that.
Another question is, how many of these universities have a medical complex attached?
All of these have medical
complexes.
All
of these.
So with Chicago, and then if we, for Springfield, there were 14 institutions, and they all have very similar mission, liberal arts oriented, undergraduate oriented, smaller in size, similar in size. There's a range of programs offered that are pretty similar. And in this instance, 5 of the 14 institutions are private universities, 9 of them are public institutions. So, as I said, one of the things that the dashboard allows us to do is to look at our performance in relationship to these peer groups that we are talking about. So here's an example. I'm just showing a couple of examples here. It's not meant to be exhaustive in any sense. So here's looking at the first time 4-year graduation rate of freshman students. So you can see this is looking at the Urbana or Champaign campus compared to its peer average, which is Urbana-Champaign campus has a higher 4-year graduation rate.
Abhijit, may I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you say, in terms of the process of developing the dashboards, were the chancellors involved? Were the senior administrators
chancellors
involved?
The provost were
involved.
I know
Chancellor Wise probably.
Unfortunately, Chancellor Wise was not, and Chancellor Cook came in much later in the process. But, you know, we started this earlier, And at that time, the chancellors and the and through them also the provost and other people within the campuses were all involved. The peer group definition process, for example, each campus put used a process for coming up with the list of peer groups, and that those were the peer groups that were used.
I think it's just important for us to know that the chancellors are in agreement with the peer group and, you know, buy into the whole selection of indicators and metrics.
At UIC, we appointed a task group to think deeply about both the peer group and to refine the IBHE peer group list of 1985, and then we created an aspirational group as well. So it was a very thoughtful and engaged process.
And I, as you know, I am new on the scene, so I was not involved with the peer group selection, and I do have some questions about that, but we will be reviewing that periodically. So, you know, I'm comfortable with this for the moment, but we will be reviewing that.
And just to sort of continue on that theme, Chancellor, you know, the whole idea of a dashboard also is that this is, again, it's one that continuously gets refined as we learn more, as we look at more things, as we debate, discuss, it continuously has to change. So here's another example. It's looking at the percentage of underrepresented groups' graduation rate. So it looks at the trend over 4 years, and it also looks at how it compares with the trend of our peer institutions. The dashboard, one of the features of the dashboard, is really allows us to focus on key priorities. Aspects that we are focusing on and saying it's our priority, the dashboard focuses on those priorities, allows us to look at how we're performing on those priorities. So as one example, the percentage of students from underrepresented groups whom we are enrolling. So this is from the Chicago campus. It's looking at the percent of undergraduate students from underrepresented groups at that campus and compares it again with the peer average. On that same measure. So this is just one example of the kind of ways in which the dashboard can help us. Another priority, for example, is federal research funding. So again, from the Chicago campus, it's looking at, you know, the total federal research funding at the Chicago campus is higher than its median. It's also showing the peer data for 25th percentile and 75th percentile. It allows you to sort of look at how the campus is doing relative to its peers. And we can also see the trend over that time period. The dashboard, you know, ultimately wanted to help us support our decision-making process. So for example, you were talking about tuition decision-making, so we can look at variety of different metrics, a variety of different information that pertains to that particular decision. You know, you can look at what are state appropriations like, how do we compare with state appropriations with our peers, and this is, of course, the UIS campus only looking at its public university peers and not the whole total set of peers. You can look at things like how much borrowing is our students doing. And in a sense, if you really want to look at a comprehensive picture of as you approach making decisions about tuition, one needs to look at tuition, one needs to look at the state appropriation, one needs to look at financial aid, what students are actually paying, how much they are borrowing. So you get the whole, all of this comprehensiveness in this dashboard and allow you to look at all of these pictures and all of the data in a very comprehensive kind of way as you try to make decisions. The other aspect of dashboard is, of course, it highlights trends. We can see trends, we can try to anticipate those trends, and when corrective action is needed, we can intercept and start taking corrective actions as the trends start emerging. And you can see a number of different kinds of ways in which this. things even like the number of faculty, are there